Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance being joined right now by Robert Klemko of Sports Illustrated. Wrote a nice piece on Ray Lewis, and he's joining us right now to talk a little Ray. Robert, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I saw your little Twitter tete-a-tete with Jason Whitlock. That was fun, huh?
Yeah, we get into it from time to time. I got to stop doing that. Twitter is... it's really seductive in that way.
And before you know it, you're arguing with people. I didn't get to see it. What was it? What was it about?
He took exception to your Ray Lewis slant.
Yeah, Whitlock defends Ray. You know, he's been on Whitlock's show before, and they're close friends. So he didn't care for the article.
You know, I don't know. What did you think of his speech the other day?
It was, it was pretty classic Ray Lewis. I mean, it looked like how they describe his pregame speeches. The sweat, the pacing, you know, the yelling. I guess if you're a Ravens fan and, you know, you're into that and that inspires you, you know, that was a cool moment.
You know, this is, you're a guy who's never back down from anything. I mean, one of the things I respect is that you'll take on some uncomfortable situations. And one of the things, and I was bringing this up on the show, that new media, there is no accountability in quote unquote new media. You are from the journalistic, you're from a journalistic background where there are standards. Once you write a piece, you're going to give the other side a chance to comment. So you were there getting your assignment editor, I guess. I don't know if you pitched it or they just came up with it, but they wrote an article about the victims from the 1999-2000 season at the Atlanta Super Bowl party where Ray Lewis was directly involved, and there were two murders. And he got off from that, and we know that famously, one of the coats with blood on it just disappeared, and no one knew where it went, one of the pieces of evidence. Well, anyway, an article was written all these years later when Ray was going out, and he was on his final, and there was this feel-good story about Ray Lewis, but an article was written about, what about the victims' families? How do they feel? Where are they right now? And you went to go get a quote from Ray Lewis in the locker room, which is probably wasn't your favorite thing that you're going to have to do that day, I would imagine. Before we get into what happened, how do you handle those situations where you've got to go get into a situation that you know could get confrontational?
Yeah, you know... like you said, it's a responsibility when a story is being written about a subject where people are speaking disparagingly or criticizing that person, that you give them an opportunity to comment. And so my assignment editor sent out an investigative reporter to talk to these families who are now living in Ohio, I believe, of the two victims in those killings. For me, you know, I was 23, and that was my first year covering the NFL. I just graduated from college. And I didn't really want to do it, but I felt it was important, and I felt I might get something interesting out of Ray. I mean, who knows? I mean, he might have reached out to these people and tried to make amends. You know, I might have learned something from that. But, you know, what I was actually hoping for was just a quiet no comment so I could go about my day. But, you know, the reason that I went to Ray in the locker room as opposed to do it in the press conference is because I didn't want to distract from everybody else's job and have Ray abruptly in the press conference and him walk out and then nobody else could get any questions in.
Which happened the other day with Tom, and you mentioned Tom Brady when the Julian Edelman stuff came up about the trainer. He shut down his interview, and so the guys who were there, it was Ben Violin, I think is how it's pronounced. He's the one that asked the question, and then everyone's like, way to grandstand, dude, when the reality is they will shut it down on questions like that.
Right, and I think covering the NFL for the last few years, it's changed in the sense that, you know, back in the day, you could walk up to a Tom Brady at his locker after a game, and if you're around the team a bunch and say, hey, we're doing this story, just want to see if you want to comment, and then that's where it ends. But they really restrict and limit the access to these players, so to these group settings, so that you feel uncomfortable asking that question. And you know, I that's why it went down the way it did with my case.
Wild. You know, when we were talking about this story just a little while ago, and you're asking a question that was 13 years old about two victims that died, and Ray was there, and Ray played a role in it. And the families of it's 13 years old, but you know what? Those families don't forget about that. What did you find with the families when you went to talk to them?
So they sent an investigative reporter who'd been, covering this sort of thing for 30 years out to do that. My role, I was doing day-to-day stuff for USA Today on the Washington and Baltimore teams, and just, you know, writing articles about football trends, honestly. I hadn't really dove into anything super deep like that yet. Like I said, it was my first year with a real job. And so they just asked me, because I was familiar with those locker rooms and I knew Ray a little bit, to go and try to elicit comment for this other reporter who was, in Ohio working on this story.
So, well, fact of the matter is that those people don't forget, you were right. The voiceless need a voice.
Right. And you know, their lives had been tremendously impacted by what happened, and they wanted answers from Ray. And at the same time, at that time in 2013, Ray Lewis was retiring. They were making a playoff run, and people were talking about his legacy. And I remember Commissioner Roger Goodell threw it out there that Ray might have a job at the league office, and he might, you know, work as an ambassador to the game to some degree. And that's when my editors were like, oh, hold on a minute. Let's see how these people who were affected in 2000 still feel about Ray Lewis.
I struggle with the Ray Lewis thing because I know that there's stuff that didn't go down. I mean, there's stuff that went down. We don't know the details, blah, blah, blah. Everyone loves to use the fact we don't know all the details. And they use it as, we don't know all the details, so you're not allowed to comment on it. And it's never, we don't know all the details, so I need to shut up because some bad things may have happened. It's never in that direction. We're seeing some of that with Roberto Osuna with some some fans here locally right now. But with Ray Lewis, one of the reasons I struggle, Robert, is that as a football player, there's no doubting his greatness. And if we view him as a football player, there's no question about his Hall of Fame credentials. Here's where I struggle. I agree with a lot of people that something may have happened that was directly Ray Lewis, at the best case scenario, witnessed and knew exactly what happened and did partake in obstruction of justice. There's no question about that. Worst case scenario, he was directly involved, and we know what that means. I mean, directly involved with a murder. Since that point, there is no getting around that he has been very influential in helping prisoners in jail, in prisons, at-risk youth. He's created jobs. He's done a lot of really, really good things. His messages have been really, really good. I think one area where it seems to not matter for people, and for my radio partner John here, and frankly my wife, I found this out from her yesterday because she was listening to the show, they don't like the preachy. They think it comes off as disingenuous. That Ray Lewis comes off as disingenuous. I don't know if that's true. I think there are a lot of people who feel that way about Ray.
Yeah, you know, I think that especially in the Baltimore area where people are more familiar with his philanthropy and all the work that he's done with youth, especially that you mentioned, they would like for all this to go away. About the 2000 killings. And I think the best way for Ray to have done that is afterwards to have done a real interview on it, to have addressed his role, you know, however many years later, and to say, you know, I've turned my life around. I've stopped putting myself in those situations, and I've dedicated my life to serving others. But instead, what you get from Ray is a lot of sermonizing and a lot of words that say nothing. And I think if I had been working media relations for the Ravens, you know, in the early 2000s, or I'd been Ray's agent or part of Ray's crew, I might have advised him to handle all this differently. I am not one of those people on Twitter screaming about a white coat. I understand that Ray Lewis's legacy is now bigger than that. But I had a job to do, and I think the bigger point of the article is this is what it looks like with some of these PR staffs around the NFL when they decide to rally around a player and insulate a player from the media. It doesn't happen with all players. I mean, less established guys, you know, this is a league with a lot of expendable players. And so less established guys don't get protected that way. But Ray Lewis and a handful of other guys, and certainly all the quarterbacks, do get protected that way.
Robert Klump.
Media. I was just going to say media relations. You've dealt with a lot of them. I have. It's very hit or miss what you're dealing with media relations in any given market.
They can spin
you guys
stuff.
Have a great one in Houston in Amy Palchik.
Yeah. She's no nonsense, though.
She's widely respected around the league.
She is. And Kevin Cooper was,
Tony Wiley, and
Now, Tony Wiley is, now he's a gatekeeper.
Right. No, Tony.
Tony's known as a gatekeeper.
He really
is. How about this? I said this, Robert, and this is not against, this is Tony's job. And I actually like Tony. I'm friends with Tony. But Tony knows that I wasn't a big fan of this. Rick Smith was about to be announced as, and he actually was, and we were at the home of the Texans. They did a press conference on Rick Smith, Rick Smith's press conference. We had it on 610 at the time. And I said during the interview, I said after the interview on the show with John here, because we were doing the show back then in 2006, and I said, you know, it's important because Gary Kubiak is the one who brought Rick Smith in. I said it's important that Rick isn't a yes man to Gary Kubiak, that he doesn't just fall in line with everything Kubiak wants. There needs to be, you know, a separate opinion and an independent voice so that they can have a conversation about what's really going on, and he needs to be able to dissent. It's important, and it's important that he's not a yes man. Well, Rick Smith's wife heard the phrase yes man, and that's all she needed, and she went to Rick Smith and told him, Lance Erlein was calling you a yes man. You're a yes man, yes man. And so it got to Tony. Tony calls me up and bitches me out about how you can't be called. He goes, you're never going to get an interview with Rick Smith now. I said, what? About what? He goes, because you called him a yes man on the air. I said, what? I said it's important for him not to be a yes man. I stand by that. I had to go meet with Rick Smith before the draft after the draft when he was hired, sometime thereafter, about what I said, and his wife was deeply offended about I called him a yes man, and it was dangerous for a person that is respected in the market to label him as a yes man, and that has connotations.
Who was this respected guy that you're talking about?
Rick Smith. Well, this is in the process.
Oh no.
But and I mean, I was just like, really? I've got to answer to this? This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, that's the stuff that happens. So you feel good though that Robert Klemko with us, SI, wrote the piece about Ray Lewis, who was protected by the PR. Do you feel good about the fact that he was praying for you, though, Robert?
You know, that was one of the oddest lines. That was probably the oddest line I've ever heard from an NFL player. And, you know, I've only been doing this 6 years. But for him to say it didn't matter what I was saying, he forgave me, and I was number one in his prayers the night before.
You said some pretty scandalous things.
I told that story to a group of, you know, old friends a few weeks later, sitting around in my apartment watching the playoffs, and one of my buddies sat there for a few minutes after the conversation ended, and he had a revelation, and he said, you know, I don't think he prayed for you.
Well, if your friends know you that well, maybe they're right. You don't know. But that the fact that he... That you didn't have to apologize to him is nice, though. That was awfully nice of him. Awfully nice. Robert Klemko.
And I tried to talk about this with Ray, you know, once he entered the media and I saw him after a game. I said, hey, Ray, you know, Robert Klemko used to write for USA Today, had that whole thing in 2013, would love to chat with you about it and kind of explain my, you know, what happened from my end. And he just completely brushed me off and said, you know, go talk to, here's my assistant's card, talk to my assistant.
It would have been so much better if you would have put a hand on your shoulder and said, dear Heavenly Father, and immediately busting in a prayer for you. I would have liked it.
That would have been good. Robert Klemko, Sports Illustrated, right here on ESPN 97.5.
But before we let you go, then your thoughts on T.O. I watched, if you watch Ray's speech, Randy's speech, Brian Dawkins, really all of them, really good speeches, they usually are. T.O.'s speech was just as egocentric as you could possibly. Like, I have been wronged. It took me 3 years to get in. The system is broken where players like me have to wait. And I was like, this is why it's real. I'm really glad T.O. didn't go now, because it kind of would have ruined it.
All I could think was first world problems. T.O. was complaining about, you know, not being a first ballot Hall of Famer. And yes, he has a beef about the system. And just for me personally, I don't think that it should only be up to beat writers and longtime NFL writers to vote for the Hall of Fame. I think there are more perfect systems that you could go to. I think that their whole thing about not considering outside football factors, it has to be BS if T.O. isn't a first ballot Hall of Famer. At the same time, this is a really cool accomplishment. You're still accepting the gold bust. You're still joining a fraternity of all the greatest wide receivers and NFL players to ever join the game. And I really feel like T.O. missed, well, what's that expression? I think he missed the forest for the trees.
Yep.
And he didn't take a step back and treat that occasion, whether or not he went to the ceremony or he did it at Chattanooga, I don't care. But he didn't take a step back and appreciate that occasion for what it was and what it said about what he had accomplished as a player.
That's Robert Klemko, Sports Illustrated, right here on ESPN 97.5. Great catching up with you. It's time. Football's here, baby. We appreciate you hanging with us. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thanks, Robert.
There's Robert Klemko on ESPN 97.5.
He's always really great to talk to.
Yeah.
He has great perspectives on a lot of different things.
Nope. All right, let's talk right now about the Skeeters. All right, Friday night. What do you think is going to happen on Friday night? Oh, by the way, if you're watching us right now, you can see there's a bobblehead here. Oh, it's a bobblehead of Tracy McGrady pitching in a Skeeters uniform. And the first 2,000 fans on Saturday are going to get that Tracy McGrady. If you're watching right now, you see it right there. I'll bring it up closer, and you can see what you're going to get if you're one of the first 2,000 fans there on Saturday.
Pretty cool. I was actually looking pretty lifelike. And Tracy McGrady was a pitcher. His first love is baseball. He said that before. You know, that's the funny thing about going to the Skeeters is you're watching a lot of guys who are not making much money at all, whose first love is baseball. This is what they love, and this is why they're going to chase it as long as they possibly can, because they love the game. So you're watching guys out there that they absolutely love the game. You happen to be watching a team that's a really good team, and you're going to get to do it at a beautiful park. If you've never been to Constellation Field, first of all, it is a beautiful park. Every seat is an incredible seat. You're right on top of the action.
And everything for the kids, Sunday fun day, Monday margaritas, Thirsty Thursday, all the stuff going on right now at SugarlandSkeeters.com. That's SugarlandSkeeters.com.
On ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good piece by John Steigerwald of the Indiana Gazette. It starts, Ray Lewis is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Richard Lawler and Jacinth Baker are still dead. And it goes on, and it's actually it says that a few times, and talking about Ray and how he's been sheltered from the media, and how Ray, he was on Steve Harvey, and he asked, how did you get past everything? Listen, I had to go through it, what happened in Atlanta. You don't go around it, you go through it. And I was able to, and people still had to watch me. Huh? Those guys are dead, okay? But But good thing that you had such a tough battle with it that you had to go through it. That it was so hard on you, Ray.
Well, what can he do? I mean, what can Ray Lewis do at this point? What can he do? What does anyone want him to do?
Yeah, no.
He's doing, he's not.
Have you ever heard him say?
I haven't heard him get in trouble. I've heard him do positive things. I don't know what else Ray can do. Because there's never going to be anything he can do. What, say, I murdered people. Send me to jail.
No.
And then maybe.
Have you ever heard any remorse for it? I mean, there's another question. I mean, this guy's asking about.
Do you remember what happened in the incident? I guess it was like a club fight. They got into it, and somebody on Ray's side, we know that.
I thought it happened in the limo.
I think it started in the club or whatever. It's what I'm saying is it was something that when I say club fight, it's out and about, right? Yeah. Party stuff. I don't know if they were all clicked up together or I think they were just separate things and it kind of got into it, bleep talking with each other, started a scuffle ensued, and then there was, before you knew it, somebody had a blade and pulled a blade out. The assumption by a lot of people is Ray Lewis had a giant knife in his pocket and just started going to work and just stabbing and mutilating people. I don't know if that happened either.
No.
I don't know if Ray had a knife in his sock.
Did we ever find out where his mink coat is?
No, blood was all over it. There's no question. If you were involved, look, Ray was clearly there.
Listen, if there's blood all over you, chances are somehow you were involved. I don't know.
I think Ray was definitely involved.
Yeah.
I think Ray was definitely involved. I don't think there was any question about that. You know, a lot of people really bang on. There's a lot of people who didn't care about all that, but then they dropped Ray whenever Ray took a stand against Colin Kaepernick early on. Then he was called Uncle Tom, a coon, and all this stuff. And then Ray's like, wait a minute. No. Let me get out there for the next game so I can take a knee. Also, and Ray backtrack off of that. And there was a lot of people after that moment that said, okay, there was a lot of people who were just fine with Ray Lewis all the way until the Kaepernick thing happened. There were other people who were not cool with Ray after that. And there's a lot of people who neither one of them matter as much as the fact that they don't like Ray's delivery, that he's so preachy. And that's how he talks. Like, he talks like a preacher. That's how he communicates, is like a guy who. But then when I watched, I didn't know all his background story. I didn't know he was born to a 15-year-old mother. I didn't know about how, I mean, he beat a lot of odds coming from where he did to the Hall of Fame. It's highly, that is a one in a million shot. And yet, from where he came, he did do that. So that's why Ray is complicated to me. Because I get all that other stuff. I don't have a lot of details other than what was there. I haven't searched out.
Let me ask you this.
I don't know.
Is that one of the first things you think of when you think of Ray Lewis?
I don't.
I do.
And the only reason it keeps coming up to me is Jim Rohn made it a thing years ago when Jim Rohn was really big. Everything was murder, Ray Lewis, murder. Every time his name came up. For me, that's not one of the first things I think about.
I don't think of the Jim Rome thing. That's just one of the first things I think about. What's one of the first things you think about with Roger Clemens?
I guess Peds. I guess, I mean.
With Mark McGwire.
There's a lot for Roger. So I think about his 21 strikeouts against the, when he was with the Red Sox. I want to say it was against the Mariners. There's a lot of things I think about with Roger.
What about with Sosa?
White lady.
Huh? White?
He's turned into a white lady.
What? He's not a white lady. He's white.
It's one of the first things now.
Well.
My images have changed. I thought about the home runs, the kiss. You know, honestly, when you say Sammy Sosa, I think of the kiss and point to the sky. I think of the bat falling open with the cork balls and then, or the cork bat. And then I think about lately that there's a picture of him. It's one of those things I wish I'd never seen, where he's dressed up like a cowboy.
Yes.
And looks like a white lady who's a cowboy. It's one of the most disturbing pictures I've ever seen.
That is horrible.
And I've seen some terrible things on the internet, and Sammy Sosa in the cowboy getup was right there.
One of the first things you think of when you hear Najee Davenport.
Took a dump while he's trying to watch a friend get it on in a closet. He was trying to watch his friend have sex. For those who don't remember, That's amazing. You bring up Najee Davenport, but he's a Hurricane, Dell, so you got to own this. He's watching a teammate go after it with a girl. He's like, no, you do your thing, dog. I'm just going to, you smash. I'm going to watch from this closet, which he did. And he's like, oh, no.
I got to.
Oh, no. And he took a dump in a laundry hamper. And how did that ever get out? How'd that story ever get out? She rat. Oh, she probably heard something. Please. You know how? Because, Dell, what did you hear when you went to the bathroom? She probably heard some of the same noises that you heard.
Yeah, I'm not sure Najee was in the bathroom when I went in there before the right after the show started, but there was a man in there, I assume a man, groaning with every effort that he made.
Like this. Oh.
No, it wasn't that. That's a different type of groaning. It was like a stress groan, like,
oh.
I'm not making the noises. You can make them.
No, that's not the noise.
No, that type of noise.
That's terrible.
That one?
Type of noise. Multiple times.
What is that? Did you just hear that? No. Ooh. Do you smell that? Do you hear that?
I didn't smell. I vacate the premises pretty quickly.
Oh, no. I went in there 30 minutes later after you told the story. The remnants. Terrible. No. The sophistry. The obfuscation.
Anybody who's... That shouldn't actually... I don't know. I don't even want to get into this.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You know what? I do want to do is get into the Hall of Fame. Do you think? And I don't know how they could uphold this.
What do you think of when I say T.O.?
I think of selfish.
What are the first three things that come? Events.
The sit-ups in his driveway.
Me too.
Yep. The catch.
Which one? Against the Cowboys?
Against the Packers.
Yeah.
The catch.
That's not me. But
and
I know what you're
him
about.
Calling Jeff Garcia gay.
I think of standing on the star like that and having...
And the popcorn?
The safety run over him. And I think, and the other one, because I just saw it this pom-poms. Weekend, was the pom-poms and also when he mocked the Ray Lewis dance when the Ravens played. That's a dude, though. So this class is, to me, the most interesting Hall of Fame class probably of all time. Brian Urlacher was a college safety who moved to linebacker and became one of the... A freak show, a freak daddy. When I was looking at Virginia Tech's Tremaine Edmonds... My comp was Urlacher because I've never seen a guy who was 6'4", 250 pounds that could run like in a 4-5 range. I'd never seen that other than Brian Urlacher. He was a freak daddy of linebackers. Ray Lewis, old school thumper, most physical alpha maybe to ever play the game. Randy Moss, the most incredible down the field, dangerous deep ball threat who also would literally quit on teams. I mean, he literally just quit on the Raiders like, nah, I'm not feeling it. I'm just not going to give you guys anything. He just quit on the Raiders. I mean, there are people who really don't like him. By the way, he did not thank. He didn't say anything about Tom Brady. He did say something about Bill Belichick, who was there in flip flops.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw.
Why is that a big deal?
I don't because
who cares what
I
Bill Belichick?
I feel like you need to just be a little bit more respectful. Pete Nkavilja, if he's got a problem with this. He better have a problem with flip-flops at a Hall of Fame.
Flip-flops at the Hall of Fame.
It was hot.
At McDonald's. Don't wear flip-flops. I don't care where he is.
Ever.
I don't care where he was.
I wear flip-flops all over.
I'm aware you're
the best.
You're part of the problem.
We
hate you.
We hate that.
No, we hate you.
Oh, you always cover your feet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. Actually, yeah. Like I always cover my feet.
What about when you're at home?
I'm at home.
It's my personal
business.
You
walk around the house with bare feet?
Socks
or flip-flops? Most of the time.
Socks?
Or flip-flops?
No.
I don't wear flip-flops.
No. You can't walk around the house with socks
you
on.
Think
why not?
Flip flops at the Hall of Fame is okay.
Yes.
How do you feel about wearing your hat a little squirrely?
I like it. I there's a picture of me. That's how I wear my
he
hat.
Does.
Personally, I got no problem with the squirrely hat. The flip flops for a head coach who's considered the greatest of all time, and he's there for Randy Moss. That felt a little strange.
Man, the flip flops for the equipment guy who happened to show up. No flip flops for a dude. None.
Yeah.
And John's breaking the microphone.
Little,
I'm not breaking anything.
But, you know,
the
Randy Moss.
The thing won't stay in play.
Randy Moss took turns between being a quitter and being the greatest wide receiver that you were going to see. So, like, the plays he made in the air, sometimes you forget about. But Terrell Owens was probably better. I think he was better than Moss. Terrell Owens played on he came back from a broken leg.
I would rather have Moss.
No, I would rather have Moss on my team. Both of them were locker room concerns. But T.O. would split a whole locker room up. Moss just might quit, might not quit. I think a lot of his teammates loved Randy Moss. Terrell Owens intentionally split locker rooms. There's a story that I had heard about Terrell Owens And I confirmed it with N.D. Kalu, who told it on the air. Have you guys ever heard this one, how he whipped Hugh Douglas's ass?
No.
Hugh Douglas was a member of the media. Hugh had said something about Terrell Owens that Terrell Owens didn't like. Terrell Owens was in a hot tub. He was just hanging out. Or he was not in a hot tub. He was getting treatment in the locker room, in the trainer's room, getting treatment. Hugh Douglas came in the locker room. What's his name? Terrell Owens saw it. Terrell stopped what he was doing, wiped off his leg because he was getting the treatment on his ankle, wiped it off, went to his locker room, put on his shoes, and immediately squared up on Hugh Douglas, and they just started fighting. And people there, including N.D. Kalu, said it did not go well for Hugh Douglas. And that Terrell Owens did that more than once to people who got out of line with him. He would just square up and say, let's handle it right now, and just whoop people's asses.
Wow.
That was a big dude, too, by the way. I mean, you're talking Hugh about Douglas. 200. Hugh was big. Terrell Owens, like 6'3", 220. Terrell Owens is a big dude, and he's rocked up to this day.
Yeah.
And N.D. Kalu said, you knew in the locker room he was not to be trifled with. Like, he said it, but he meant what he said at all times.
Apparently, he had a right after his Hall of Fame speech, he had a workout with the CFL team?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He went and worked out with the CFL team. Well, the only reason he wouldn't keep playing, this is why Dez Bryant needs to check himself. That guy could still play. Terrell Owens was a good wide receiver with the Buffalo Bills. And then it just got to the point where the people said, we don't care. I mean, if he's not going to get us 20 touchdowns, it's not worth having this guy anymore. It's just, it's a pain. And no one would touch him. No. I said Buffalo. Was Cincy or Buffalo his last team? I think it was Buffalo. He did play in Cincy too, right?
Tia, I don't remember.
Because you know how it gets squirt. Do you remember Randy Moss with the Titans?
With the Titans?
Yeah.
Titans Randy Moss?
Do you remember?
Vaguely, yeah.
Remember 49ers Randy Moss?
Oh, yeah. No.
I don't remember either one of them.
No.
I kind of remember both.
I remember Titans Randy.
Do you remember Dream Toronto Raptor?
Yes.
Not me.
Yes.
Didn't see it. Didn't exist.
It happened.
Didn't exist.
Who is today's T.O.?
In any sport?
No. In football.
That's strong because any name you put on it, man, that's putting a divisive dude on him. First off, I'm thinking Odell Beckham.
That's it. To me, guy who just wants all the attention and just cares about his stats. I mean, even Eli said he's got to be a better team guy. I mean, he's got to be a better team guy.
So here's Terrell Owens at the age of 37, his last season in the league, 72 catches, 983 yards, 9 touchdowns for the Bengals.
For the Bengals? Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I remember T.O. Bengals T.O.
Yeah, because here's what he did for Buffalo. 55 catches, 829 yards, 15 yards to catch, 5 touchdowns. Not bad. The Bengals said, let us get him. And I think Chad Johnson was on that team too. And Terrell Owens showed out. And he had, I think Hushman Zada was gone then. He had 72 catches, averaged 13.7 yards, and 9 touchdowns. Andre Johnson would die for those. These are keep playing football numbers, right?
Yeah.
9 touchdowns, 13 yards a catch.
Did you see the stat, though, while Randy Moss was up there talking, that Jerry Rice was older than him, still playing and still with 80 catches or whatever he had at 42 years old?
Yeah.
So I saw somebody put the GOAT for Moss, Randy Moss.
Not the GOAT.
Stop.
Now, he had moments. But that's one of those things where he would flash. But you can't just quit on an entire organization and be the GOAT. You can't get kicked out of the Patriots because you're fighting with everybody. Like, we know what Randy Moss was. Randy Moss had a chance to be the GOAT, had GOAT talent.
Well, it's going to be hard to pass any number by Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like passing Gretzky. It just ain't happening. It just isn't happening ever. His receiving.
Oh, numbers?
All those numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. At age 40, Jerry Rice caught 90 balls for Oakland and scored 7 TDs. Yeah. 13 yards, over 13 yards per catch.
Yeah. I mean,
that's still pretty stupid. Good. Let me tell you what else is pretty good. My friends over at Bill Advisor. So I'm going to get on the phone to my Bill Advisor today. We're going to take a look at electric bill. I've got that coming up. So they're going to go search for electric companies. They're going to search for – we had an unusually high cell phone bill, so I'm going to have them go over it and make sure. And I was out of the country, so that's probably what it was. But just in case, I, you know, for my $12.99 a month, what they'll do is I can get on the phone and say, hey, look through this, see if you see anything there. We're also going to go, I'm going to go have them preemptively fight with DirecTV so they can try to weasel me as good a deal as possible for NFL Sunday ticket. That's what they're doing. They're your advocates. They go try to get you stuff. They lower your rates. They're out there. You can't get rates lower than what they can get for you. You just can't. You don't know how to get to customer serve, the customer retention department, and you don't know what they're willing to do. You have no idea. They're, it's like a poker game where they know which hands are likely to win and which ones aren't. And you're the new person at the table. You have no idea whether or not you should even be in a hand. Let them take care of you, a bill advisor. They know how far to push to get you the best deals possible. Electric, home insurance, auto insurance, cell phone bills, internet service, home phone, home security, you name it. And for $12.99 a month, they're your personal advocates that are out there getting you the best deals and keeping a close eye on where your rates are going so that they can step in when they need to and lower them once again. Make sure that you have Bill Advisor working for you. Text GO to 232323, and by the end of today, you'll have brand new bill prices. BillAdvisor.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 849 ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Dell at 713-780-3776. Did y'all see that... By the way, Dell is Sammy Sosa, and Raheel is the girl in that picture. You haven't seen that? Yeah. El Jefe put your face on Sammy Sosa, Dell. I think it's racist. this is terrible. Dak with a shotgun. Tell him about Neil Line, boss. And Jerry Jones is the warden. Stop. Let's not do that.
So Dak, you know, Dak came out against players kneeling for the anthem. And he's taking a lot of heat. And one artist in Dallas did a mural. Have you seen this, Dell? I don't think John saw the movie Get Out. Have you seen Get Out?
Yeah, I saw Get
you
Out.
You have? What'd you think of it?
I thought it was good.
I thought it was good.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
It was way better than I shouldn't say better than I expected because...
Why did you think I didn't see it?
The reviews, I just didn't think you'd want to see it. Like, It's just a Key and Peele... I don't know.
It's not a Key joint. It's a Peele joint.
I know. Jordan Peele would be like, can we stop putting Key on me? I'm the guy that's doing the real stuff. That guy's just doing clown commercials. That's what Peele's probably saying. But So have you seen the mural?
No.
Of Dak like this? And he's got the tears down his face like he's in the, what was it called? The sluggish place or whatever it's called. Where you're just stuck there. And for those who don't know the premise, I can tell it now, right? There are old white people inside of a black person's, but they have inhibited their body. The sunken place. And they're living inside these younger black bodies. It's old white people who have somehow, they're able to get inside the bodies. And so you don't find that out, obviously, until later. Although you know stuff's weird. You know stuff's really weird and creepy. And they got a picture of Dak Prescott with the cry, with the tears going down the eyes and in the sunken place. That's his picture. And that's actually pretty clever. I think it's kind of...
It's been vandalized, too, by the way.
Yeah, it's kind of rough that he has an opinion and he has to immediately get clowned for having an opinion, but... Well, you're not allowed.
Well,
it's funny. I don't agree with people on a lot of stuff. I just don't name call them whenever I don't agree with them. I may think, you know what the hell you're talking about. That's pretty normal. But I never browbeat people for having opinions. Now, if you're a belligerent piece of rat turds, well, that doesn't, you know, you're not protected by difference of opinions. No, you're being an a-hole. Ooh.
Ooh, you almost. Well, that's all.
I got close.
You did get, you got really close.
If you're an ass, you know.
No, but the,
I can say ass. Well, and the, then you're also, you do things that make you almost like a hole. Then that's what you are. That doesn't mean, well, just difference of opinions. Well, not if you're acting like a jerk to
people. No, but in this case, Dak is going against the mainstream liberal right. agenda. Well, and so he's going to be ostracized and he's going to be criticized and they're going to...
Well, here's
I don't know if it's, particularly with the NFL, it's the mainstream opinion. It's the, because there are plenty of people who agree with Dak. I think it's the opinion of a... of an African-American player saying, I'm standing. That goes against what other African-American players have said.
Even though there are plenty of players who do stand.
Oh, but they generally don't come out and say
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you, but if you believe in, I guess, standing and respecting the flag, then you're it. Then you're an Uncle Tom?
I wouldn't use the term because I don't call anyone that.
But people have been calling
I understand that. That is their choice. I don't call people that.
Well, but people are calling him
that. I am aware of that. I'm not calling him Uncle Tom.
I'm not either.
What I'm saying is I don't call people Uncle Tom, so I wouldn't call anyone an Uncle Tom. That's what I'm saying. That's another person's opinion on the matter. His opinion and the way he's approaching it is contrary to what others who play the sport who are African-American have done. Who have actually voiced an opinion.
Well, it's because there's two.
But there's a lot of African-Americans who haven't, no.
I said who have voiced an opinion on the matter.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who look at Dak and they think it's black and white. And they say, dude, we're doing this because we need to make a stand against the injustices of people who are killed when they don't need to be or when they're stopped, when they're on down the line. And so automatically there's an assumption of because we're such a for lack of a better word, a black-white society where, so if you aren't for what we're saying it's for, then you are actively against that. And Dak is, I'm just ascertaining everything that's out there. Dak's saying, no. I'm obviously for that. I have a hard time believing Dak is like, I'm against social justice. What Dak is saying is, I'm good with it. I think there's better ways to do this than just kneeling during a national anthem. And frankly, you obviously can go do things in a community. There's very proactive stuff. Now, you know, one of the things that does irritate me a little bit is that people don't go out and just do any research. Here's something. I got this the other day from a guy who said, these spoiled NFL players, they're just kneeling. They're not doing anything. And if you would do any research at all, and I mentioned the Dolphins were incredibly proactive about going out, getting with police departments, doing ride-through
programs.
So were
the Colts.
So were the Colts, yeah. And there are a lot of NFL players that actually are proactive to do things that do make a difference. Kenny Stills has been one of the guys that's been right there out in the forefront of trying to be proactive in the community and not just – a lot of people think it's just negative, negative, negative. Right. No. Positive discussions with police in neighborhoods, which obviously needs to happen.
Right. I mean, the Texans –
that doesn't mean Dak is against all those things happening because he has an opinion.
The Texans are out in the yard, and they're cleaning up the yard, and they're putting the weights away.
See, this is why we didn't get media credentials. This is why we didn't get media.
Did they put the weights away or not?
The Blitz needs to come directly to you two, and they need to say, hey, Dell, John, why did we not get media credentials? Next time Fred and AJ are upset.
Is the yard cleaned or not?
Well, we'll find out when they get back. Now, I will say this. You know one thing I don't care about? What the Blitz is upset about.
Ooh.
So let allow them to come. I wouldn't care.
It's not that we. I don't even know if we've even mentioned the credential thing.
No.
I think that Blitz has mentioned it.
They have mentioned
it. I'm pretty sure. Because I was listening one day.
So here's the story.
On an hour trip. And
here's the story. Apparently, this is going around league wide where they're starting to shut down access to. So people who spend the money, I don't care what here's what will be said. No, the press con, it's never been more full, and we need to save space. And people who, here's what's actually happening. They're getting around the league. Whoever has the rights to the NFL team is everyone's getting credentials now. Secretaries, account executives, everybody. You're credentialed. And then what's happening is this is their way of giving added value. If you're willing to spend the amount of money, and trust me, 610 takes it right in the bad place, and the Texans basically say, we're going to own half your station. So you're going to give us all your advertising. Texans radio, that just means 610 had to give away their radio station.
They basically
the Texans
did.
Like, please don't leave us. Because they were going to go to 790, and they're like, please stay. Please stay. Here, we'll just give you half of our station. They're like, okay, good. So we get all these advertisers. And then the Texans went and took advertising from 610. Right. And 610's like, hey, we're partners. Could you not take away jewelers from us? That's not very nice. And then I heard from somebody in the building who said they were going to advertise. Like, you want to advertise with these dumbass 790 shows or on Texans radio? Like, Texans radio, it's going to be a little more expensive.
Well, sure it is.
But but if you apply for credentials, we can all get credentials. We just have to
not
apply.
Not all of us, no. They're limited to four.
Okay. Not all.
Not all.
Okay, not everybody. But game by game, parking is, we'll see what happens.
With not that either. We're not probably getting that either.
Up next, we make our case. Who's going to get the credentials?
Ooh. All right. Make your case.
Make your case right
now. 58.
Who always got the parking credential? He would go on there, never saw Charlie once. It was take it back. He would go get food. Then he would leave and just disappear. And he would stay for games. Charlie stays, but he made sure he had a parking pass.
It's we'll make your case.
Yeah,
we'll
make your case, not slander the other.
No, I'm saying Charlie gets Charlie gets one.
Lance will love to negative recruit in college football.
Absolutely.
Time for me to talk about
I'm the Jason Brown of radio.
So it's time for me to talk about something positive, and that's GiveMeTheVIN.com. Getting the most for your vehicle. That's what John Clay Wolf does every single day.
Sell us your car.
GiveMeTheVIN.com. So easy you can do it in your underwear.
No, but sell us your reheels on something. That's very underrated.
Yes, it is. Sell us your car.
That shout sing.
Yeah.
Sell us your car.
So easy you can. And if you're in your underwear right now, you can do it. Okay, if you're in your car,
sell us your car.
In your underwear right now, then you can go. And listen, I don't care if you're in a school zone or what. You can get on your phone right now and go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com is where you can sell that car. John Clay Wolf's going to give you your best price for it. And if he can't beat CarMax, he'll send you $100. That's how sure he is of giving you the best price. At GiveMeTheVIN.com, that's GiveMeTheVIN.com.